part two. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
All right, fuck that. We don't have to hear the whole song. Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott, and we got a lot to get through, John.
Big we got special science. Ed in the studio. It's
special
my birthday.
Ed's here. It's your birthday. We got a lot of science to cover. A lot of science. We got some audio.
Science.
We got some audio for science. How often does that happen? All right, I'll try to get through these science stories as quickly as possible to get to the meat of our science tonight. Are you a big science man, Special?
I'm a big science fan.
Yeah? You like the scientific method?
I like science.
The whole deal?
The whole deal.
You a logical guy?
I'm
you have
logical.
To have proof?
Nah.
Nah?
Nah.
You
can
no,
go
you
on
faith? Have to have proof. Just go ahead. It looks good to me. Whatever you want to do there.
First Stein story. First Stein story tonight.
Sputnik. Sputnik.
Doctors, get this. Doctors use stem cells to create a neo-vagina. A neo-vagina.
Oh, yeah, I heard about
one
that.
One of every 4 to 5,000 girls is born without a vagina.
What?
Until now, doctors fix this by making a vagina from skin grafts or intestinal tissue, which involve painful, invasive surgery.
Right.
The new method grows vaginal tissue in a lab using stem cells derived from tissue where the vagina, or the vajay, should have been. The lab-grown tissue is then grafted into the donors. Here's the conclusion. Now every woman can have a vagina. Here's John and Scott's...
Well, that's out of sight.
Here's John and Scott's take. Now every man can have a vagina
pussy.
Without a woman.
Nice.
Right.
Oh, I didn't want to throw that piece of paper. I got to get my piece of paper. I didn't mean
you
to
mean
throw
we
it.
We could have our own or...
Keep talking. Yeah, we can have our own.
For on our own body?
Yes.
Oh, that's out of sight.
Isn't it?
That's fucking wicked.
What do they call
I gotta
it
get that.
When your schwanz is long enough to penetrate your own tetanus? What is that term? Metototomy? What is it?
Metototomy.
No, we covered that in one of the podcasts with Zach. It was a kinky sex trivia. I can't remember what the term is. But now we can have one of these vajays put right on us.
I make fake foreskins.
All right, then.
I make fake foreskins.
Next tet-anus. Science story.
Isn't that what it is?
Tet-anus.
Tet.
No.
Here's another vagina story. A commentary in the British Medical Journal blasts the rise of cosmetic vagina surgery. Britain's National Health Service performed 800 labial reductions. Labial reductions.
Labial. Labial.
In the most recent documented year, twice the rate of 6 years earlier. Reasons women give for requesting the surgery include inability to wear tight clothing.
Oh.
Go to the beach, take communal showers, or ride a bicycle comfortably.
Oh.
Or avoidance of some sexual practices. The article says patients often bring doctors images to illustrate the desired appearance, usually from advertisements or pornography.
Oh.
Here's our objection, Special Ed, because John and I conferred on this before. Because I don't know if you know this, but we both have doctoral degrees. Imperfect vaginas are not a medical problem, okay? All you women out there. Entrepreneurs and the media are inventing the problem by making women feel bad about their vajays. Plastic surgery poses risks, in this case, to sexual sensitivity. And our last reason, men don't get their genitals surgically reduced over discomfort from things such as bike seats. They fix their environment, not themselves.
Right,
next science story.
The bike speed. Bike speed. Bike speed.
Sputnik.
No, they...
Short-term memory. It's going.
The bike seat. They cut a hole in it for your nads to hang through.
For the nads, so you don't get numb. You ever get numb when you ride a bike? I get numb. My nuts get numb.
I went to the doctor once, and he said, I'm going to numb you. I said, okay. He goes, num, 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 num.
Now, this next science story is close to my heart, John, because it's about a vasectomy.
About a vagina.
Which I've had in episode 27.
You need an assectomy.
We discussed a tetanus vasectomy. Most men fail to complete the vasectomy process to make sure the surgery will shut off their sperm supply. They're supposed to submit two more follow-up semen samples. In a previous study, half the patients didn't submit the second sample, and a quarter didn't even submit the first. In a new study, only two-thirds were left to submit a second sample as instructed. The conclusion, asking men to submit two sperm-free samples may be overly demanding. And here's, you know, John and Scott's take, because we confer on this. We're physicians.
Right, right.
Men
right.
are so lame at follow-through, they can't even get them to jerk off.
Now, let me ask you.
Now,
ask
in
you,
my, yes.
In yours,
in
did
my,
you have the section
talk in the
removed?
Mic.
Sorry. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Don't swallow it.
Is that better?
All right,
I keep
the question
turning
was,
it up thinking, what the hell's going on all of a sudden?
The question is, did I have my second jerk-off?
No, did you have the section removed, or did you have the snip and little ends?
You need to go back and listen to 27, because I covered it in detail, but I will summarize here.
You will summarize.
They snipped, section removed, cauterized, and stitched.
Nice.
So
you are guaranteed.
I'm pretty much guaranteed, and the thing is... the wife lately, every time she sees a baby, you have to get that procedure reversed because we have to have more kids. But
they're so cute.
They took a chunk out, so that means they'd have to stretch.
Right. Yeah.
Some of that.
Or get a creamette.
Now,
just sew in a creamette.
So did you do the second follow-up?
You know what a creamette is,
I didn't even
do
the first.
You're serious?
Yes. I'm serious.
What the fuck?
You didn't what?
I didn't even do the first.
The first one.
I'm supposed to jerk off into a cup and send it to them, and they'll tell
Twice.
Me.
They taste it or what?
They say, okay, there's no sperm in here. You're good to go.
Ah.
But I didn't even do that.
You didn't do that.
I trust my doctor. That's what it's all about, trusting your
MD.
They
could fix it by putting a macaroni in there. And they just sew in a macaroni.
Yeah.
It's a creamette.
Yeah. All right, and here's a very comprehensive study also related to penis. You know, our science stories today cover the vajay and the penis.
Wow.
When it comes to penises, length matters more to men than to women, according to a new study that reviews more than 60 years of research and debunks numerous sex myths. About 90% of women actually prefer a wide penis to a long one. That's good news for you, John.
Yep.
Yeah, I know what that's all about. According to two studies
included in the review, used to be a tight end, now you're a wide receiver.
85% of women reported being satisfied with their partner's penis size, compared to only 55% of men. The review conducted by Dr. Kevin Wiley and Ian Eardley of the Royal Hallamshire Hospital in Sheffield. Sheffield, isn't Polly B lives by Sheffield?
Yeah.
At the St. James Hospital in Leeds.
I might be one of the biggest cocks on the planet.
Combines results from more than 50 international research projects into penis size and small penis syndrome. That's SPS to you and me. The issue of attractiveness to women is complex, but most data suggests that penis size is much lower down the list of priorities for women than such issues as a man's personality and his external grooming. The researchers write. The findings also deflate a few other myths about male genitalia. The notion that penis size varies according to race, for example, is false. That's what they say. Did you hear me, John?
Yeah, I heard you.
That's false.
Yeah.
That is one big pile of shit.
The findings, another often repeated myth is that older men tend to have smaller penises. Have you ever heard that myth? I've never heard that myth.
No.
Your penis doesn't get smaller when you get older.
No, it gets bigger.
Your balls hang lower, and maybe it throws the perspective off a little bit.
Soylent Green is made out of people.
Other surprising findings was that small penises, that's SPS, also known as locker room syndrome, is much more common in men with normal-sized penises than those who have so-called microphallus.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's penises with a flaccid length of less than 2.7 inches.
That's me. But it gets huge after a while.
An inherent study of more than 52,000 heterosexual men found that 12% thought their penises were too small, even though microphallus is estimated to affect only 0.6% of men.
Wow.
Get that, man. And then there's one other thing here. Let me see. Doctors point out some ancient tried and true methods for penis enlargement, but these aren't any more comfortable. Indian Sudhas men, for example, use weights to increase their penis length, while the Tapamina of Brazil,
they roll it.
Do you know what they do?
They roll it.
No, they encourage poisonous snakes to bite their penises to get a size boost that lasts 6 months.
Come over here. Bite my one-eyed serpent.
Oh, the other thing that came out of the study is the penis enlargement is all, you're just throwing your money.
Crap, yeah,
you're just throwing your money down the toilet there. Yeah. All right, then. All right, now to some other science news there. We're going to cover in a little bit, we'll cover Kirk Cameron, but I got this one other quick story. It's about Richard Dawkins. Do you know Richard Dawkins especially?
I do not.
He wrote The God Delusion.
Which I got to give to Scott because I
lost it.
I double gifted him.
Double gifted. All right, and Michael Behe, right? Michael Behe. He's an American biochemist and an intelligent design advocate. Did you get that?
Got that.
He is a professor of biochemistry at Lehigh University.
Behe's full of shit.
And a senior fellow of the Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. He is married and has 9 children. What does that tell you, John?
Didn't he and Behe argue in Newsweek?
He doesn't believe in condoms.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. Well, Behe has a claim about irreducible complexity. He advocates the idea that some structures are too complex at a biochemical level to be adequately explained as a result of evolutionary mechanisms.
Just blow it off. Don't even study it.
He has termed this concept irreducible complexity, but he's wrong. I mean, this whole concept is wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Time magazine came out with 100 most influential people. Richard Dawkins was one of them. Guess who they got to write the article about Richard Dawkins?
Behe.
Michael Behe.
Oh, what a fuck. Did you write a letter to that? Those
dumbasses?
Is that
a bunch of shit or what?
I think they did it on purpose, though.
Well, they had to do it on purpose.
To cause a little guff.
Well, I read the Behe's review of Dawkins, and it's not too bad. The last paragraph, he says, Dawkins had a mild, angelical youth, but at 16 discovered Charles Darwin. And believed he'd found a pearl of great price. And believed. Get that word, John? I believe his new book follows much less from his data than from his premises.
Premises.
And yet I admire his determination. Concerning the big question, the Bible advises us not to be hot or cold.
Oh, my God. The Bible
lukewarm.
Written by man.
Whatever the merit of his ideas, Richard Dawkins is not lukewarm. So he uses a reference to the Bible to discuss Richard Dawkins. And if I'm Richard Dawkins, I don't talk to anybody from fucking Time magazine.
Listen, that kills
again.
Me because a guy that smart, supposedly, for 1 second he should consider questioning the fact that there's not one single shred of evidence of any original documentation of the Bible. You cannot find any original written scrolls or scriptures that relate to the now New Testament that was rewritten by some bishops of Nice.
Nice. Oh, that's Nice, John.
Who also wrote the Nicene Creed.
The Nicene Creed.
Which is just
Creed.
A form of coercion. Don't get me started.
I'm not. Well, actually, I am. Because next, John, we're going to talk about one of my favorite celebrities.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the Bible. It's a bunch of fun stories in there. But to take it as some sort of fact, it's fucking bullshit.
you know, there's some good messages in there. And if you want to base your moral compass on the Bible, that's great.
Great, yeah.
On the New Testament, not the old one, where they can stone people.
Oh,
and,
but that, yeah, why doesn't he go back to Leviticus? Well, Leviticus says this, and Deuteronomy says that. Oh, well, that's different. Those aren't...
God hates fags, John.
Yeah, those aren't the real stories. Those are the fictitious ones. I'm talking about, Peter and Paul.
And Jesus. Don't forget Jesus and the lessons that Jesus taught us. You don't forget those, do you, Special Ed?
Jesus is rolling around in his grave.
All right, Special Ed.
Fucking this whole thing up, Jesus is saying.
Kirk Cameron. Are you familiar with Kirk Cameron?
Kirk Cameron.
Remember Kirk Cameron?
Yeah, what was the show he was
Some
on?
Some TV show.
Growing Pains. Kirk Cameron. Anyway, he can't get work in Hollywood anymore. Now he has found Jesus. When he was on Growing Pains, he was an atheist. Did you guys know that?
Did not know that.
He was an atheist, and he was sitting in his car, and he asked, God, please, if you do exist, please show me a sign. And God didn't show him a sign, but he made his heart swell.
Oh.
What?
That's nice. What Kirk says, man.
He made his heart swell.
Now,
like
a couple,
like in The Grinch?
No, like your schwan swells
one,
up.
Mr.
So
his heart's in his balls?
A couple of podcasts ago, we talked about the debate coming up on ABC. ABC actually broadcast a debate with Kirk Cameron and his partner, Ray Comfort. And these guys have a website. It's called The Way of the Master Bader. And their whole concept is, if you look around the world, Ed, you can see all of God's creation because
Why did you drink so much? Sorry.
It's all creation and there has to be a designer. If you look at a building, Ed, you say to yourself, hey, somebody had to design that and you should know. I mean, you're in the business. So if you look at the Earth and this universe, you got to say, "Hey, there's got to be a creator." So that is their whole premise for their religion—not religion, but for the argument of creationism
that God exists,
otherwise known as intelligent design, and that God exists. So ABC actually did have this debate with Kirk Cameron, Ray Comfort, moderated by Martin Brashear. He's the guy who did the Michael Jackson interview. And they brought in these two guys, actually a guy and a girl from the Rapid Response Squad.
What?
To debate. And these guys seem, I went to their website and they have a video of them in the car on the way to the debate. And they're cranking some heavy metal and talking how they're going to go kick Kirk Cameron's ass. And they were well prepared, but they were not well spoken. And they fell into some traps in this debate. And did they win? How could they not win? I mean, they're arguing based on fact, and Cameron's based on fairy tales. But I'll leave that up to the viewer.
All right. Because
it is online. And I'll also leave it up to our listeners, because I did pull a couple of clips. Now, the first clip we're going to play you here, Special Ed, this is Kirk Cameron. And he's going to explain
DNA.
And why it's God's creation. Why DNA was created by God. And not evolution,
but by God.
Go ahead and play Kirk.
Not evolution.
Number one. We're
going to play this.
Now, you and I have something inside of our bodies called DNA. We have 10 trillion cells, and in those cells is DNA. DNA are microscopic strands containing digital information. If you connected all of your DNA strands together, they'd reach from the Earth to the sun and
this
back 66 times in your body and in mine. And that whole thing is packed with genetic encoded digital information that is the instructions on
digital,
how to
John.
Make a nose, eyes, ears, teeth, skin, hair, bones, lungs, a heart, a stomach.
A penis.
How did the information get in there? By accident? Charles Darwin spoke of the simple cell, but that was so long ago, he didn't have the level of knowledge that we have now and couldn't see down to the DNA level where you have the enormous complexity and the very specific information. Remember, nature produces patterns, but not information. And if you do the research, you will find that any self-respecting molecular biologist would tell you no one has a clue how the human body could possibly build itself by an accidental process.
But Kirk does.
You say, well, then why do so many people believe it? I'm hoping to answer that question for you tonight, at least from my perspective as a former atheist myself, if we have time.
Well, and the whole thing is, his whole premise is false. When he talked about DNA at the beginning,
I love
that's
the
true.
Argument from authority. I was an atheist, therefore,
what I'm going to say now is right. There are so many flaws in the logic. And then there's just bullshit. If you ask a biochemist, could DNA occur by an accidental process, they're going to say no. Of course, I can't imagine how that could be an accident. But evolution is not an accident.
Right.
So if they phrase the question stupidly, they're going to get that answer. Ah, it's just a bunch of shit. And let me just say this about all of creation, the argument, and the intelligent design. It's based on one, the basic flaw is the argument from idiocy. Idiocy. And what this is
idiocracy.
What it is I can't explain it. I'm not smart enough to explain it, so it must be God. It's an argument from
stupidity.
Ignorance.
Yeah.
Of stupidity. Of Kirkcameronosity.
Kirkcameronosity.
So
nice. Yeah, but what about they never answer the question who created the creator? This complex being, and like I played last week, that whole thing from Christopher Hitchens when a similar question was posed to him that God has to be this great thing, and Hitchens says, well, if he's so great, you're telling me that he claims responsibility for all the collapsed stars, all the failed solar systems in the galaxy. 99% of the species extinct.
Extinct.
He's really good.
Oh, we'll
He's
get into that.
Up.
We'll get into that some a little bit later, because they don't buy that.
They don't buy that.
Of course, because Satan has something to do.
All right, now
that.
Kirk number two. When you listen to this, you get the impression that he doesn't even understand the basic goddamn theory. Because what he does is he holds up these photographs like of a bullfrog, not a bullfrog, but a bull. That has given birth to a frog and what that would look like. And he asked the question, why don't horses give birth to birds? And where are all the species between species? Just what you were talking about, John. His concept of evolution is that an ape gave birth to a modern human. That's my impression after I listen to this clip. Yeah. And he's going to talk about micro and macro evolution. Go ahead.
You spoke about microevolution.
Oh,
and how
stop, it, stop,
that,
it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. I'm sorry. This is not Kirk. This is a guy named Brian from the Rational Response Squad responding to Kirk after he says that why don't horses give birth to birds?
Okay.
You spoke about microevolution and how we have that, but not macroevolution. I'd ask you, how can you not walk a mile taking one step at a time? Microevolution is one step at a time. Macro is when you get to that end of that mile. How can you not walk a mile taking one step at a time?
Well, before you do that, okay, that's your response to what they said. Can I just respond, Kirk, to the argument that you've just heard, which was that actually evolution is evidenced. There is evidence, and it is accepted.
As far as I understand from the research that I've done, the...
Great audio, by the way.
Ask me that question again. As far as...
Brian's position was that he heard you say that there are gaps in the fossil record.
Yeah.
His argument is, if you go to the American Museum of Natural History, there are fossils, and there's evidence. And second, that transition occurs over very large lengths of time.
And a mile is accomplished by taking one step at a time.
Correct.
As far as I understand, any fossil that you find at your museum is a fully formed creature. There is not something in there that is halfway between one animal and halfway between another animal that you can observe to be so.
Your assumption is that evolution is true from the outset. That's your presupposition, okay. And therefore you say that you and I are transitional forms. We're constantly changing into the next thing. That's based on your presupposition that evolution is true. But the observable evidence is that you've got animals that are fully formed. You've got adaptation within a species,
not according
but
to
you've
Kurt.
Never seen any animal produce anything other than
because that's
that
not
type
how
of
evolution
animal.
Works.
You say
that's
well,
not
I have
how
faith
evolution
that
works.
Over time it'll turn into something else, but you've never seen it happen. No one's ever seen it happen. And that is called macroevolution. You cannot extrapolate microevolution over time and equal macroevolution.
All right, what do you got to say about that? I love the beginning where he says, "Well, what was the question?"
Yeah, right.
Huh?
You got any? No, my take on that is, at least from the get-go, was that he's saying each fossil is a creature and there's nothing in between. That means God did not create perfect beings. He created a bunch of fuck-ups. And out of all the fuck ups, there's only 1% that actually still exists.
Possibly. And the analogy about
wait a minute, I'm a perfect being. I'm so goddamn.
No,
great.
I understand what you're saying. I'm saying possibly from Kirk Cameron's perspective.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That his perspective is like, okay, if this is my argument, the argument against Kirk Cameron's idea is that then God's really not that great. He's a screw up. He had to make 5 bazillion washing machines before he got one right.
No, I don't think that's what Kirk was saying. I think he was saying
I know what he's saying, but what comes
the
out
ramifications of,
that,
yeah. of what he said. Special Ed, you had a comment?
I forgot now.
Okay.
kind of like
nonsensical
well,
crap.
The thing about it is it was poorly he used in the analogy you have to walk before you get to a mile with micro and macro. But micro and macro are the same goddamn thing. Micro happens relatively quickly in the span of time, but macro takes millions of years to occur. And that's the point. And Cameron doesn't understand that at a basic level. He doesn't even understand.
Well, the biggest
evolution.
Problem with Cameron is that the fact that, take a bird for example. A bird used to be a big fucking animal way back when in the dinosaur age. It evolved to what it is now, which is this nice little bird we see today. And that is the micro he's been, the other guys keeps on talking about. So there is evidence, there is fossil evidence showing evolution.
Not according to Kirk.
Well,
okay.
Kirk is a fucking idiot. Look at the fossils. From way back to millions of years to hundreds of thousands of years. To a thousands of years ago to now. It all falls in line.
All right. The next clip, we're going to hear from Kirk's partner, Ray Comfort. And he's going to attack
Ray Kumquat,
the two from Rapid Response Quad for having faith in history books.
Oh, my God. What a dumbass.
And you got to go to the website because they can't even fucking look at him when he says this. And he even comments on it. He says, hey, well, you can't even look at me.
Yeah, because you're so stupid.
And basically his main argument is because the Bible is the greatest selling book of all time, so it must be true. But go ahead and play. Kirk number
Glenn,
3.
You have got so much faith in history books.
What
you quote history
dictionary?
Books like they're gospel, and you ignore the gospel records.
Do you believe in George Washington?
Hang on. Just let him finish. Whenever you quote history books, it shows you've got blind faith in the words of man. We have the words of the living God in the Bible. The Bible has substantiated itself to be God's word by just open study. You can look at me while I'm speaking to you guys. Don't look away. Just have to open the Bible and read it. It's self-proval. It's axiomatic. It's full of
I've read it
prophecies. The Bible is full of prophecies that are coming true in our day and age. It's the world's most famous and greatest seller of all time. It speaks history into existence before it happened. Read the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, yeah. Luke 21. Study the scientific facts in the Bible. It says in Job, the earth hangs upon nothing, when science believed it sat on the back of two gigantic tortoises.
When did science ever say that the Bible hung on two gigantic tortoises?
Three, whatever.
When did science ever say that? Science really didn't start happening until Galileo's time when the scientific method was introduced. Before that, It wasn't science. It was just a bunch of other people trying to make up fairy tales. So that's wrong.
Argument of, what is that? Argument of popularity? Just because it's popular, it must be it's right?
Well, all right. It was kind of funny, too. John, you made a point, too, by saying that the Bible was written by men.
Right.
He made a comment, too, that, oh, history was written by men.
Yeah, right.
What the fuck is the difference?
But the difference is he has faith that the Bible was written by the Lord and transcribed by men.
The Lord didn't write shit.
Well, they...
He's the Almighty. He's up there somewhere. No one's ever seen the guy. How in the fuck can he write anything? Where is the literature that he has written anything? Jesus didn't write shit either.
That's why when I discuss with somebody who is a really hardcore Christian, and they say, can't just for one second, can't you believe there's a God? You know, I mean, there's all this great stuff. And I say, okay, if I were for one second believe there is a God or was a God, it would be a guy that just snapped his fingers, got things going, and walked away. Rolled the dice and walked away. A deist. A being that just, you know, did his thing. Like he pissed in the corner and poof, something blew up out of it, and then he just walked away from it. Okay. Not some all-supervising God that's constantly over you, telling you what your destiny is.
That
God
we need to be obedient, yeah. That we can't take his name in vain.
If God has a path for you.
If there's one God, is there another one? Is there any more than just one?
Well, why not? Why not more than one? Yeah, sure.
I mean, I see it's the same thing as that nice Star Trek little episode of Q. Didn't Q snap his finger and there was a world? Snap his finger and they were gone. But there are many Qs.
Could be. Who knows?
But
why is there one God?
One guy argued with me. This is years ago, when I was questioning his born-again Christianness. The guy used to carry a notebook with him everywhere he went, and he could recite scripture just out of the air. But the notebook he carried with him was a bunch of numbers, and I kept going, "What the fuck are those numbers?" He said, "Those are lottery numbers that have been played." Okay, great. What's the deal? Well, I write them all down. And have you noticed that never has a lottery number come up again, the same number? So they're running out of numbers, and I'm figuring out which number is going to be the number that wins the lottery, and I'm going to be a bazillionaire.
It's out of sight.
Yeah. I'm like, well, why don't you just pray to God for the money? Oh, it doesn't work that way.
Sure it does. God will provide.
That's what I started saying. So we got in this deep discussion. And I asked him, I said, well, explain this whole Jesus thing. Well, why you know, send your only begotten son?
That's the greatest gift, John, that God could give us.
Why?
Don't
why,
you blaspheme
why,
that.
Why in human form? Why not just come as a big monster and scare the bejesus out of everybody?
Because it's not about fear.
And
not like the W regime. It's not about fear.
Well, who the fuck are you? Are you this guy? His name was Bill Parznansky or something. Anyway, so...
I'm just point counterpoint. Oh, that's thanks. All I'm doing okay. Here. Well, I mean, I think it's all fairy tales.
So we're sitting there and he says, well, don't you don't get that? I said, no, I don't get it. Hey, man, let's say you were an ant. And the only way somebody could communicate with you is if they sent, like, an ant Jesus down to you. I'm like, you're fucked up, dude. So what you're saying is every animal in the world had some sort of Jesus figure. So a zebra Jesus.
No, and that's a giraffe not what he was
Jesus
saying.
And a dog Jesus.
He was saying he needed to send the Jesus because we wouldn't have comprehended anything else because we're stupid asses.
Well, what about all the other intelligent creatures like dolphins and dogs?
What
is
about
there
them?
A dog Jesus?
No. Animals don't get the same privileges we do.
Why?
Because.
Why?
We have consciousness. We have free will.
A dolphin is conscience.
No.
You have free will?
A dolphin
is conscience, but.
It is conscious.
But he has consciousness.
But can he ask himself, why am I here? I don't know. Maybe he can. Who
sure
knows?
He can.
I don't know. But apparently to religious people, he can't. Yeah, I can't talk to him. All right, next clip, John. Now, somebody's going to take a question from the audience in this next clip, Kirk, number four.
Clip, Kirk. number three.
Four.
He writes, if God is the creator of all things, seen and unseen, then is evil not also his creation?
Yeah, it's a good question. Darkness is the absence of light. That's what darkness is. You remove light and you have darkness. Evil is the absence of good. If you remove evil, sorry, you remove good, then you naturally get evil. So, yeah, God created all things. But you cannot attribute the character of God to being evil because there is such a thing as evil. That's his insinuation.
Why not?
Because God is righteous and holy and perfect. There is no sin in God. The Bible says he is light and in him is no darkness at all.
And then he fucked up 99% of the species.
They start laughing at him.
Oh.
Yeah, that answer seems a little contradictory.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Let's go back to Kirk's original assessment. And the all creatures, they are all creatures. There's no in-between creatures. So God's a fuck-up.
No in-betweens. Yeah, God's a fuck-up.
God's just a big fuck-up. The most perfect being in the world fucked up 99% of the species because they're extinct.
Maybe that was God's plan. We don't know
that. Then explain that to me, Jesus Kirk.
I cannot explain
Kirk Jesus.
The Lord to you. I cannot explain an all-knowing being.
Why not? Explain Santa Claus.
Oh, I can explain him. All right, now our next clip. These are closing clips. This is Kirk's closing, and he talks about atheists. And this is funny because it gets booed by the Christians in the audience.
Oh.
When he mentions a name. Go
Kirk
ahead.
Number five, closing clip.
Kirk, number five.
Okay.
Brian.
I'm sorry. Stop.
What do you mean? It's five. It's the right
Kirk
one.
Number five. Yeah, but it's not Kirk. It's the rapid response squad's closing.
This and is he's the, getting booed by the Christians.
No, he does not get booed. Okay. This is the rapid
Let's
response.
Let's try another setup. 3, 2, 1.
Closing. Kirk right. Number five, Kirk rapid number response rapid closing. Response. Part of their closing clip.
Closing clip. 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
Brian.
Well, you know, Way of the Master is right. Religion is a force for good. When you take out the murder, mass genocide committed by God as documented in the Bible, religious wars, burning witches at the stake, Ted Haggard, shooting abortion doctors, the Bible's promotion of slavery, pedophile priests, serial killing Christians gone wild, the church's systematic oppression of women and minorities, aversion to protection against STDs and the spread of AIDS in third world countries, creative and inconsistent interpretation of thou shalt not kill, take it all out. Religion is a force for good.
Oh,
nice.
That's okay. A good one.
That's his intro to his closing. It went on longer.
One.
And if you want to see this, it's available out there on the YouTube. Or you can go right to Way of the Master. I suggest you do go to Way of the Master because they have a kick-ass website, Kirk Cameron and the Stray Comfort. And they'll
that's
come out
one.
And talk to you. On the homepage, and it's really kick-ass.
Can we get him on the show, maybe?
I don't know, maybe.
Would that be insane, man?
That would be insane.
It'd be like a fist fight. They'd probably go all ape shit on us.
Ape shit.
You ever see the one where they have the orangutan?
No, but you told me about that one.
It's so fucking funny. They have this orangutan special ed sitting between them at a table. It's like a table, like a... you know, those red and white checkered tablecloths, and it's got food and silverware, and this chimp, or whatever the fuck, orangutan, is grabbing shit and banging the plate, and they make their argument about evolution that, no, we couldn't have evolved from monkeys, because look at this thing. It can't even hold a fork. It can't eat food like us. And it fucking killed me, man. It's funny.
I gotta check. I haven't found
it's
that
on
one.
YouTube. That one is.
Oh, too. There's also a new website. Tube. It's called GodTube. Check that
God-tube.
Out.
GodTube. Where do you have time to find that?
All right,
shit,
man. So this last clip, John. This is Kirk's closing. He talks about atheists and he gets booed by Christians when he mentions a name.
Oh God.
We often receive emails from people. Atheists in particular saying, you know, you guys who believe in God are idiots. You're small-minded people who are unintelligent. You don't think. Well, I just want to read a short list of some of our idiots who believe in God. Albert Einstein. Galileo.
Just let him finish.
Pardon me, I didn't say he was a Christian. Albert Einstein. Galileo. Shakespeare. Sir Isaac Newton. Copernicus. These guys were not stupid. When it comes to intelligence, the side of creationism has got it in spades. And the science is good, and the logic is good. Now, we're not up here saying that we think atheists are unintelligent. There are a lot of smart atheists. Sam Harris and Richard Dawkins are clearly intelligent men. That's not the problem. If someone insists there is no God, when creation clearly demonstrates that there is a creator, the problem is not an intellectual one. It is a moral one.
Yeah, John.
What?
All right, so a couple of things. He just goes on to say that there's logic and there's a basis for this creation that proves God's existence. And that's all shit. And yeah. Nobody calls him on it.
I know.
But it was his closing, I guess. He saved it for his closing. But he gets booed because he mentions Albert Einstein's and the Christians get their panties in a bunch. Because Einstein was a Jew. That's great.
Ah, right. That's funny. Let him finish. I didn't say that he was Christian. It wasn't, but he believed in God as more of a deist. Not as a, I mean, I could understand, okay, I believe in God for right now. Some could take the slant, I believe in God for right now, using like Pascal's wager.
Right.
What the hell is the difference? I'll do it for now, and I'll do my research until it proves otherwise. But at least you're doing some sort of honest research to say, I really want to know the answer to this. I really want to know, is there a God or not? So every time I take a stab at science, you know what? There's a scientific answer for this one. Why is grass green? Because of God. Well, let's look into that first.
Right.
And if you could take the slant at first and do it that way, or you could just say, there's nothing, and I want to know the answers. There's nothing that there's no evidence in front of me. There's nothing that tells me what the truth is about this grass. So I want to know what it is.
Right.
You could do it that way, too.
Right on.
But at least you're exchanging some sort of ideas.
Right. It's not a dogma. Right. It's not pounded into your goddamn head.
Exactly. I don't know how they drive cars. They must be fucking amazed.
Well, you know, I think it's, first of all, I think it's intellectually dishonest. These guys' faith, either they have so much faith they're clouded. That's what I think. Or they're charlatans. I don't think they're charlatans. I think they really believe this shit.
I think Kirk Cameron was sitting in his car with a fucking revolver under his chin, and he prayed to God, show me a sign, because my career's over. I had the greatest TV show in the world with Alan Thicke. I made a couple of made-for-TV movies, the back-to-school specials, and my career is fucking over.
You think that's what it was?
It's over, and I'm going to fire a bullet right into my skull. And you know what?
His gun jammed?
Please. It could be. He vomited a chunk of carrots into the chamber or something, and it didn't go off. I don't know. Whatever.
Or the guy that was blowing him.
The enlarged heart.
Or the guy that was blowing him finished.
Right.
And he thought, oh my God.
Well, this was the wayofthemaster.com. And I went out to the message boards. They have a forum, John. It's actually more active than our forum. And
we have no action since May 25th.
I wanted to see what the people were saying out on the Way of the Masturbator forum. And here's some of the things I pulled off. I'm on your side also, Way of the Master. If these people that make these zany theories would really think about it, where did the soul, spirit, evolve from? God created it as he did everything else. God will bless his believers. How about that, huh?
Yeah.
Evolution and fairy tales.
I've seen somebody die. Yeah. And there is this weird moment of when the person is alive and when the life leaves them. Death. I don't know if it's spiritual
alive
or if it's
death.
A soul or whatever it is, but there is some mechanism. If you see a car that just won't ever start again, you couldn't tell the difference. But if you saw somebody laying there dead minutes after they die, you'd know they were dead.
Well, there's a lot of people that are pronounced dead that aren't actually dead. How do you explain that?
Good point. I don't know. I've never seen that.
Well, you've only seen one person. Right. We got to see more people die.
More die dead people.
And we'll figure it out. Evolution and fairy tales both say that a prince came from a frog. Fairy tales use a kiss for the change, and evolution uses millions of years. On second thought, they are both fairy tales. It's all the same defeated stuff we've heard over and over from atheists. The only difference is that the logical, factual, historical defenses for God Christianity weren't presented well enough. God bless Kirk and Ray. They both do great things, but they're evangelists, not apologists.
Oh, God.
That is one big
And then there's a nasty one here. Fuck all you atheists. Your parents must... let me read it as written. Your parent must be very stupid to have fucking, with a F-U-C-K-E-N, kids listen like you. You thinks with your dumb ass or thing with your brain. Why you guys so fucking stupid? Never seen any groups that so fucking stupid asshole fucker like you guys. I'm gonna kick your fucking ass like a fucking shit sissy. Fuck all you atheists.
That's gotta be an atheist type.
Remember, you guys ain't nothing but shit. People like you guys is just a fucking piece of shit. Nothing else. Fuck all of your idiot fucker.
In our urethras, we have a little teeny tiny vagina.
And the shit that I did see, it seemed that Martin Brashear is a believer because he was a biased mediator, not an unbiased mediator.
Cocksucker.
And I guess the guys from whatever the group that debated also pointed that out. They voiced their concerns.
Nice.
To ABC. But didn't matter. Ray and Kirk got a free pass. And why not? Most of the country is Christian, right? So what are you going to do? You going to support these punks that come in and spout evolution? No. You're not.
Why not?
Why not? I don't know.
I don't know.
How long has Cameron been in, like, studying this crap? How long has Cameron been studying this stuff?
Since his career ended?
Which is how long?
I don't know.
So what gives him the fucking right to sit there and say, I am an expert in this kind of crap? And give him a forum to talk about it?
Well, even on some of the questions, he said, as far as I
as
know.
As I know, yeah.
So why in hell is he on TV then? Why does he have a forum?
Because he's used to be a celebrity.
He's a fucking idiot.
And now he's making tons of dough.
Tons of dough. You should see this website.
He's probably making way more than he ever made.
Way more.
In his TV career. And he's like, fuck, this is out of sight,
this is the
man.
Way to go.
It's like Tammy Faye and Baker, man.
Anytime you get behind God, you're going to make a shitload of money. Just look at the Reverend or Dr. Falwell.
Falwell.
Anytime you attach Reverend to your name and you start your evangelical priesthood, your little church going, you're going to make a ton of dough.
You know, when you watch these videos, you do not get that impression. And maybe it's because he's an actor. I don't know. But he seems completely brainwashed.
You have to appear humble.
No, he seems completely brainwashed.
Maybe he is.
He doesn't want to go for his ministry. He spreads the message by talking to people on the street, which may be part of the overall plan.
Why
I guess.
Doesn't he become a minister?
I don't know.
This other guy, this other
aren't there tax
smoker,
benefits?
What's his name? Carl.
Oh, Chris his partner?
Dickhead? Yeah.
Ray Comfort.
You know that guy. Carl. Carl Spangler.
Ray Comfort.
Ray Kumquat. That can't be a real name.
Why not?
Excuse me, Mr. Comfort.
Ray Comfort. Phil McCracken Whitcomb is a real name.
Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Why can't Ray Comfort
Raymond
be a real name?
Comfort. Raymond Comfort. Yeah, I don't know, man. But it's just another set of evangelicals, charlatans taking money from the people.
They write books.
They got videos. They got these DVDs. They write books. They do these discussions. You think they're doing them for free, but they appear humble.
Well, the whole thing, the whole debate comes down to, well, we debated a little bit, but come on, people. If there's one in a million chance that God did send his son and you don't believe it, you're going to hell. So it's all based on fear, just like the W regime. And there's some response.
Which is completely immoral. That doesn't make
it is immoral.
It makes no sense at all.
And there is
because
some.
It's completely immoral to have a punishment. It's not free will.
People are genetically predisposed to swallow this shit and
Ray,
believe it.
Right. Swallow the Ray Comfort.
Right on.
Right.
All right. We got to take it to par three because we're way over.
Way over.
I'm out of beer anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We'll be right back.
Later.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for
part three. Part three.
Just one last click away.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.